Hawks rolled against the Scarlet Knights on Saturday. Offense came alive in the fourth quarter. 400-plus yards of offense. Deacon Hill, 20 of 31. A lot of good stuff. 8-2. Firm control of the West. Indy is in sight. A lot of good things happening. Unbelievable event at Back Pocket on Friday night. We have a lot to talk about, boys and girls. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go. We're back again. Grant's stressed as hell. Kevin's wearing a Game of Thrones t-shirt. Feels like it's going to be a good pod. Just feels like we're going to have a good one.
Well, it's every pod's a good pod.
That's just not true. That's just objectively false.
Sorry.
Some are definitely better than others. I don't know if we've ever had bad pods. We've definitely thrown in a few bad ones in there. But maybe. Kevin sounds good. He's on his we're all on our microphones. That's a plus for almost 500 episodes in. We can figure out the tech stuff. We're watching this. I think the Broncos are playing.
No, Broncos play tomorrow.
So why are you stressing?
Well, I took the Seahawks minus six, and I think we're dead.
Because if you're not gambling.
Because I think Geno's going to go kick a statement field goal here to win the game, and that's not good enough for me.
Because as you know, Grant, if you're not gambling, you're not watching.
True. I stand by that.
And you, in fact, did that t-shirt, which is an exclusive one. You did something Kevin and I never did. You jersey swapped this weekend.
I did jersey swap. Shout out to the boy, David Eichel, showed up to Back Pocket Brewery, just like many of, I'm sure, the people who are listening to this did, which thank you to everyone who came.
Crazy.
Appreciate him coming. Appreciate everyone coming. But yes, there was a little jersey swap.
How wild
was t-shirt Friday? Company we cannot talk about on the show, but
true. Yeah, distributors and
as far as I'm concerned, AdCraft is the only t-shirt company that exists.
They're the only one. I'm pretty sure the only place that makes t-shirts.
I think so.
Shout out to them. Let's start there with Friday's event before we get to the game. Great weekend, just an absolute great weekend to be a Hawk.
Oh yeah,
but great weekend to be a walk-on. I mean, I never know, you know, we do this online thing, right? And to some extent, Kevin and Drake, they don't even do the online thing. They just are literally on this show. Kevin gets on Twitter and I guess you see Instagram sometimes, but like, Kev, we don't know how many people are going to show up to this stuff that we just say we're going to be at places, you know?
No, I don't really follow the listing statistics like you do. So like, as far as I know, I'm talking into a void.
Could be. Pretty sure we aren't, but we could be. And so, you know, we did the meetup at the Big Ten Championship in Indy a couple of years ago. Unbelievable turnout. Last year we were able to put together like a small kind of on the fly meetup / try and bring as many people into the toolbox game as we could. More people showed up to that than I thought would. And same 3 for 3 with this event that we did this past weekend. Everyone who showed up to Back Pocket Brewery, unbelievable. Like, unbelievable thank you from the bottom of the walk-on, everybody here at the walk-ons, our hearts. Just, man, it is weird to walk in and, like, everybody's waiting for you, you know? Like,
it's pretty cool, man. It's cool.
It's so crazy, man. Like, we started a show, we put it on the internet, and now a company wants to put a beer, co-branded beer out there, and a bunch of other people who listen to us want to come and just hang out and drink it with us. It's so nuts.
You want to know what one of the cool things I think is like people that have become friends through the community, like people who didn't know each other beforehand, like, you know, talk to each other on Discord all the time. And like,
yes,
everyone's like, oh yeah, we got to meet up at the meetup. You know,
I'm sitting there talking to Swish and Great Value Drake, who's James, and
those are people's real names.
No, what? Crazy enough. Yeah, it's weird. People have other identities outside of their meme name accounts on the Discord. Eric, I could list off all the names that were there. Just so many of our like unbelievably faithful supporters. You guys are absolute psychos for the brand. If Drake was here, I know for a fact, and he already told us, we've talked to him already. He thanks you guys from the bottom of his heart. You know, Drake doesn't, you know, he's mentioned his quarrels with the state of Iowa and the University of Iowa and all this before. So to get him to come back within the state lines for a 3-hour event on a Friday night, is one thing, but to make him feel like it was super worth it and just like really blow his expectations out of the water, like, man, you guys are so, so unbelievable. Thank you to everybody who came out, to everyone who wasn't able to make it, but has DM'd the account or DM'd me. We are trying to figure out what the next steps are for the beer. Okay. For everyone that did make it and was very curious on how much of the beer we drank, the number is a lot. I don't know the exact number yet. I'm waiting on those figures. I'll probably get them when you guys are listening. Well, a lot of you are in the Discord, so Monday morning I will most likely get those numbers. But we put it out there. They made 2,400 cans of this, 2,400 tall boys of this beer. And I think we easily got through half of it on Friday night. And I don't know how much more we got through, but I was not expecting that. That is crazy.
It's a lot of beer, damn it.
1,200 tall boys in one night. I mean, I understand some of them were bought for future drinking, or, you know, a lot of there. I know there was several tailgate pictures the next day where people were cracking the hops by a million at the tailgate, which is unbelievable to see. But God, that's so much. I mean, so cool. Back Pocket already. You know, when I arrived, our contact Lo, who we've been working with on this, she already said to me, like, you guys seriously have an insane fan base. Like, we're so excited to keep going with this. Like, she was already mentioning the next batch of beer that we're going to make. And ideally, the path on that is they have three locations. So I think the rest of whatever we didn't drink is going to be sold out throughout the next couple weeks at Back Pocket, hopefully throughout this week. We just sell out the rest of it. And then we do another run. I believe timeline-wise, that's going to happen like beginning of 2024. They will then disperse that through their three locations, Dubuque, Coralville, and Johnston. And maybe we can get an event done in Johnston. I don't know if Drake will come back for another one so soon, but maybe I can find a way to weasel Kevin and Grant over to the Des Moines area for a night. We could do a big thing for the Des Moines listenership, because I think we could do another big, big event at the Des Moines location. Not to mention there's bowling and arcade at that location. So that could get rowdy. And then, you know, I don't know if people keep drinking this thing, maybe we get somebody to distribute it and we're in stores or something.
That'd be sick, man. That'd be sick. I'll tell you what, and I told you both this on Friday at the event, is I was worried because we had no say over what beer it was. The beer is already pre-selected.
Yeah.
No creative.
Yeah, because we wanted to get on it quickly.
Like making the actual recipe or anything like that.
Yeah.
Didn't taste it before the event. I was like, man, I really hope this beer is actually good. It's a great beer.
Yeah,
I thoroughly enjoy that beer.
A lot of people that came said, man, this is better than expected. Mm-hmm. And no hate on the Swarm beer, but I don't know why they're saying this, but they say it's a more drinkable beer than the Swarm beer because it may be heavier or a little bit more alcohol, or I don't know. It's easier to kill 6 or 8 hops by millions than it is to kill 8 Swarm beers.
I mean, I like Swarm. It's a solid beer.
No, and that's not to say that Swarm isn't good tasting, but there's some beers, you know, if you get like a porter, like super dark.
It's not an IPA. It's not heavy. It's very drinkable.
Right. It's a light lager.
It has a lot of taste. I'm thinking light lager, like, all right, like this is like a Busch Light type beer. It's like basically you're drinking water, right?
That's water.
Yeah. Don't disrespect Busch Light like that. Okay. But no, it has a ton of flavor, and it's not like a lot of beers that like you drink the thing, you feel like you just eat lunch, you know, like you can drink a lot of those suckers.
Love it. Love it. I love to hear that. I'm not a beer drinker. I had one the other night. Took a case home, though. Kevin was confused. I walked out of there. Kevin goes, Clue, what are you doing with all that beer? And I was like, well, you've got family and friends that want to try it back home. And hopefully it's a lot more.
Price too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it's a lot more available soon. We're very excited to keep doing stuff with them. More events, more batches of beer, more fun for everybody. So thank you to everybody who came out to that. Unbelievable. A lot of people bought merch, all the cool stuff.
Fantastic.
Back Pocket has been just unbelievable in partnering with us on this stuff, and very cool stuff. So,
did you guys have anything from the Washed Up Walk-On's food menu that night?
How about that?
That was kind of cool, right?
Low threw that together too. It was like the nacho
washed up pizza.
Yeah,
nacho average podcasters.
Yeah. The three and out.
Drake was happy about that one.
Drake was not happy about that. However, had a lot of three and outs this year. Not a single three and out on Saturday, though.
How about it?
We're going to get there because the offense looked, well, I won't say that. For three quarters, the offense looked about the same. But in that fourth quarter, the Hawks came alive, and we're going to get there in a second.
Just not right now.
Not right now, because we have to sell you some more stuff. In all honesty, this is always for the cause. If we're ever trying to sell you something, the Patreon or merchandise or coming to drink beer, it all literally funnels back to one thing. And it's us trying to make money for the cause that really everybody in the Iowa ecosystem has rallied around. A lot of the NIL stuff from the players has gone to this. Obviously, the Swarm beer is for the NIL for the players. But ours, our profit, our cause is UI Children's Family Hospital. For 3-4 years in a row, that first year we did not give very much money. I think we donated like $5,000. Still all right. Last few years, we've been able to give $15,000-$20,000 to the children. I think last year was $25,000 because we had such a great year. We've given a lot of money to the Children's Hospital, and that's our one goal. We just want to buy gifts for the kids. Like the idea that this stupid podcast could somehow over the course of 365 days make thousands and thousands of dollars that then benefits the kids sitting in that hospital, which is such a special thing for the University of Iowa. Man, it's just, it's crazy. So the holiday merch store for the walk-ons is live. And Grant and Kevin didn't even know about this until the other
day. Yeah, I don't know. That was, I'm really, go up to the, show up to the event. People were asking me about a shirt with my face on it, and I was just like, "Well, that doesn't exist, so I don't even know."
Oh yeah, let me share the screen. We've got some merch. The Goat Wallace makes a return. Several options there. Obviously, the Blockhawks by a Million, one of our best designs we've ever done. The Known for Great D shirt. We have a new design. Boys didn't even know about it. I'm using their name for NIL right now. Kluve, Drake, Kevin, Gary, the walk-ons. Good little shirt, right?
KG,
and then
KG.
And then the best design of all right here.
What's that G-Bone Effect shirt? Oh my God.
You put DB Cooper on a shirt there.
I simply put G-Bone in the shades on a t-shirt and it says the G-Bone Effect, and we're going to sell a shitload of them.
I'll allow it.
Look at how beautiful that thing is. So if you're on the YouTube, obviously you can see. If not, you need to head to adcraftwebstores.com or maybe even, yeah, adcraftwebstore.com, and you can find their recent stores amongst a bunch of them. You can find ours, or you can just go to what's our unique code here? It's just there's not a really good like URL. So here, I'm going to put the link. By the time you guys are listening to this, everybody in the Patreon already got the link through their feed. By the time you guys, the public is listening to this, head over to our social media, Facebook, YouTube, no, not YouTube, Twitter and Instagram. And the link to this holiday web store will be in the description or the bio of each of those profiles. Get yourself some Goat Wallace stuff, some walk-on merch. There's some hats, some sweatshirts, stuff for the winter season. Also some tank tops in there too, though, for next spring and summer. Nice stocking hat with the new logo design. A couple premium products in there as well. Tri-Blend, Under Armour.
Can wear it for your CrossFit, the Under Armour.
Absolutely, you can. If you're looking to just look absolutely ripped, we got something for you.
But look, can I mention, did you guys know that me and Drake ran into Goat Wallace over the weekend?
What?
What?
Did you guys
you
know
that? Did?
Did Drake mention that to you guys?
I know. Didn't bring that up.
No. Tell me about it. Tell well, me so, about it.
So me and Drake went to Gray's.
Yes.
Shout out Pete, by the way, at Gray's. I met him too. Awesome. Awesome guy.
And Kim.
Both showed up at the event as well. Legends.
Okay, I didn't meet Kim, but Pete and Kim, shout out to them. We were sitting down eating, and Drake just sprints out of Gray's suddenly when I was in the middle of a conversation with him, and I was like, oh shoot, like I need to,
like Drake.
Like if Drake Kulik is scurrying away from something, I need to also scurry. But I turn around and Seth Wallace is right outside the door, and he just dabs him up and starts hugging him and talking to him. I didn't go outside. I didn't want to, it was a quick interaction, but well, it's also like, he'd be like, I don't know who this is.
Oh, Grant, he would have been like, dude, this is G-Bone. He's on our fucking podcast. That's exactly what he would have said.
Yeah. But no, so Drake did end up seeing Seth Wallace, and I saw Seth Wallace through a window. So.
I venture to bet, Grant, that if you would have went up and joined the conversation, Coach Wallace might know who you are, because Coach Wallace listens to the show occasionally.
Frequently, though? Like, you think in season he's like, oh, Monday, I got to see what Kluver and Kevin.
I don't think he keeps up on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, but I bet that he has listened several times since you have joined the production.
Well, I need a review from him, because I care about his opinion more than anyone else's.
Well, you should, because his opinion is ultimately top dog. I had so many people, Grant. I'm not talking just like one or two. I'm talking like over 10 people.
Tens of people.
Tens of people come up to me at the event and say something along the lines of, man, you guys couldn't have hit better with Grant. Like, he could not be any better. Like, what he adds to the show is so great. Like, he knows his shit. I looked at him and I was like, yeah, he knows more football than us. he watches every minute of football over the weekend, every weekend. Somebody was like, I was so pissed when you guys said you were bringing on some intern. I thought you guys were going to ruin the show. And like, I hate to say it, but it's better. The show is better with G.
Yeah, no, I talked to him. He was like, yeah, dude, I really, he was like, hey man, you're doing great. I wanted to hate you, but I didn't. And I was like, you could have just period end a sentence of like, hey man, you're doing a good job. Like, you didn't have to bring up the second part there. You didn't have to do that. But
that speaks. But that speaks
I appreciate it, seriously. And it, like, and that's what the event is so cool, doing this stuff. And like getting to see everyone and talk to everyone is awesome too. But like, luckily everyone's so nice. Getting to hear feedback and stuff on the show is awesome too. So, like anyone who like seriously, like it means the world. It's surreal. It's crazy. Like, and I feel like I say this every single week on this show, but like, that's just my honest opinion. Like, it's just, I can't believe any of this stuff always. So.
It is really surreal. When we do the in-person stuff makes this seem very like almost like it's like almost like a fairy tale. It's like so weird.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy. Like I brought my roommates to this one. And they were like, what on earth is this? Like, cause like they know I do this, like I came up today and they're like, oh, you're going to go work. And I was like, kind of like, it's kind of work. But they,
hardly work,
but like when they got to the event, they're like, I cannot believe this. And like, now they know that there's like a shirt with my face on it. They knew about it before I did, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which like, I don't know. That might be, they might know too much now. I don't know if I like them knowing that, but
which by the way, if you're also, I'm going to tweet a link out too. So you don't even have to like go treasure hunting. You will just get a link on Monday from the walk-ons page, and probably several, I'm going to spam it for the next week. The store's open for another week. It's been open for the weekend. The Patreon got the announcement early. You will not have to look hard to find where you can purchase a piece of clothing with Grant's face on it. But yeah, very cool. Very cool. Probably weird for you. You've got roommates who are like, oh my God, there's just.
Well, it's funny. It's like it was almost like it's like a world's colliding too, where it's like, why is my roommate talking up with Drake Kulik right now?
Like, that is weird.
This is totally worlds collide.
That is really weird.
No, cool. Very, but awesome event. Seriously. Like, it's
incredible stuff.
Yeah.
So let's get to some football talk.
Football.
I suppose we'll do that. I just wanted to start with this video.
And then you get this pass interference at the end.
Oh, no.
From, I don't know. Charlotte versus somebody? I don't even know who's playing here. A ref throws a flag, and it hits a dude Right.
This is the Charlotte versus Memphis.
Yeah.
Right in the cone.
Oh, and he just gets that's one tough. Right.
So if people don't know, like there's like little sandbags in there. Like,
yes.
So refs can chuck those things a ways away.
Right.
That if that hits in the wrong spot, that don't feel too good. Dude. That's tough, man.
It's like getting a hacky sack right to the beans.
Yeah, like that flag looked like it came in from like 15 yards away. So that ref put a little something on.
Oh, that ref cocked back on that thing. He put a little juice behind it. That was Randy Johnson on the mound.
Oh man, that is just a bad beat right there.
That is imagine having to like go run the route after that. You're like, oh God. Thought we'd lead with that. Overall, fun weekend of college football. Some crazy stuff going down. I guess I'll start with this as far as like a sort of a big picture outlook. This is weird. And I don't know if you could find another weekend, another back-to-back weekend. I would love to know when the last time this happened was. Within the West race, obviously Iowa, everybody at this point knows Iowa has really solidified themselves as like, you know, we need only one of two remaining to clinch the West division. And we are going to Indianapolis. Hopefully we get two of two, but all they need is one. This is the second week in a row that Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Minnesota have all lost, and Iowa has won. And I would love to know when the last time that happened in back-to-back weekends, because realistically, Wisconsin in the last decade hasn't lost a lot. Minnesota is kind of been, you know, in the middle of the pack. Sometimes they're up in the 8-4, 9-3 range. Nebraska's lost a lot, so they would be helping out that cause, but incredible amounts of separation because those are the three, or were at one point, the three competitors to chase the West title with Iowa. But Kev, Hawks are in solid first now.
Yeah. Like you said, they need one win and they are the Big Ten West champs, already solidified a share of the title.
Which isn't worth shit.
Isn't worth shit. But the West is it's a very bad division this year.
It's not worth shit. Yeah,
it's not worth shit. But I do think Iowa is the clear and away best team in the West.
Yes,
we have the one loss versus Minnesota, which
bullshit
asterisks. Northwestern's actually playing better as the year goes along. I think I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name right now, but he's making a very good case for himself to get the job. Full time at the end of the year.
Dude, they handled the Badgers.
Handled them.
Yeah.
Handled them. Like
which brings me to another point in a second, but continue.
Kevin, I have a
given his situation that he walked into at the beginning of the year, like they might make a bowl game. They're probably gonna they got two chances to win one game, Purdue and Illinois.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They've got a definite chance.
Kevin, I want to ask you about this because me and Kluver were talking about it before the Northwestern game. I don't think you were there for it, but we were talking about then. Is it weird to say that a coach with only 5 wins right now might be the leading candidate for coach of the year in the Big Ten? I think there's an argument to say that he could win the award.
I understand the sentiment. No writers are going to vote for, or other coaches will vote for them.
Sure.
Because it's like you have to be in like one of the top 4 teams in the conference. And it's basically who overachieved versus expectations usually is just basically who they give it to. But the sentiment and the actual facts, like that might be the best coaching job in the conference. I think you could make a solid argument.
I think it's
where they started, like they are improving a lot week to week. And with a very tumultuous offseason, like right before camp?
Right before camp, dude.
Yeah. That's like, I think they had a bunch of players leave and stuff. It's like, you can argue that no one had a worse situation walking into the year, and he's more than likely going to make a bowl game with a team that I think went 2-10 last year.
They had one win.
And it was 1-11.
It was
they didn't win a game
in Nebraska and Ireland. United States.
Wow. Yeah, so for a 5-win improvement after that offseason with losing a lot of players, yeah, you can make the argument. Yeah, I think that's a very valid claim, Grant.
I was on the record.
Win it? No, because it's going to go to one of the top 4 teams probably. But
yeah, I'm on record on this podcast when we kind of looked at our Big Ten preview before the season started, and I questioned if they would win a single game.
I said that Northwestern is going to be dog shit again for the next 5 years at least.
Which, who knows? You know, like,
they're probably going to make a bowl game in the Big Ten, which is right. Not dog shit, right? It's average.
They're playing in the West this year. Schedule changes next year. And I don't know what Northwestern's schedule looks like, but it could be hard to get 6 wins in future years for the Wildcats. But nonetheless, it takes away nothing from what they've done this year. It's unbelievable what's happening over there. I mean, they're the ones who beat up on Maryland a couple weeks ago.
They beat Maryland by one score,
but Maryland was playing good at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've put together some impressive wins. So,
on the counterpoint of that, like, Wisconsin's falling off a cliff. I know they've got the injury bug up there pretty badly, but
so does Iowa.
So does Iowa, yeah.
Which brings me.
Tanner Mordecai has actually played again last week, so he's. But at the same time, they scored 10 points. So.
Well, it segues me into this tweet. It was perfect, Kev, that you brought that up. A lot of people are looking at Wisconsin, right? There's Luke Fickell. What's he getting? You know, big dog. He's the big hire, right? Cincinnati, they were crushing. They hire the big group of five coach. Is he going to come in and revolutionize? Is he going to change
the Wisconsin identity?
And I get a tweet here. Thank you to TJ Hallman for tagging us in this and asking the question. It says, would love to hear your thought about this on tonight's podcast. Great point here. And he quote tweets another tweet. And this is from Rob Donaldson. He says, for the people wanting Kirk Ferentz to get fired or slash retire, take a peek at Wisconsin tonight, hiring the trendy G5 coach, Luke Fickell. They're getting annihilated by Northwestern at home. Take a peek at Minnesota, hiring the trendy G5 coach, PJ Fleck. They're in year 7. They're irrelevant. Like, I know that that's just a small fraction of the entire situation of Coach Ferentz's tenure and the coaching staff and who's at the head of the helm and are at the helm in Iowa City, but he makes a point.
Those are in division opponents too. That have the same opponents that Iowa plays. It's not like you can say like, oh, but Iowa schedule, yada, yada.
And I would even make the, and this isn't really where I want to take this entire podcast, but I'll make a quick point before we move on. And Kev or Gary, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but let's be honest, in today's day and age with how fast coaches get hired and fired, Jimbo Fisher out at Texas A&M, by the way.
Crazy.
Correct.
You either produce results, you're going 8, 9, 10, and 2. Like you're winning games in like year 2 or 3, or you are on the hot seat generally in today's landscape. With how steady Coach Ferentz has been, and I would like to think that because of the stability that Ferentz has built, the hiring process and who they bring in after him reflects that stability, or they at least try to. But on average, most coaches fail. Like a lot of coaches are failing to meet expectations. What are the odds that?
I would love to know what are the statistics that in the last 15 years that you hire a head coach that sticks around for say 5 years
or more. Yeah.
What do you think that longevity rate is?
Maybe a quarter of coaches.
Oh, it's gotta be more than a quarter.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not over half.
I don't know. I'd like to know.
It would be interesting. The point I'm getting to here is even if we hire someone who we think looks great as a hire, right? Hey, we hire LeVar Woods. We hire, I don't know, all these people that they're throwing out for like the next head coach of Iowa. Statistically, the odds that they're going to step in and do what Kirk did after Hayden, like the odds that we get another 20-year plus head coach for Iowa are so slim.
They are so slim.
So like, as of 2022, the average FBS coach's career is 3.7 years at one program.
Jeez.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
That's wild. Like that's what we're looking at when Kirk does decide to hang it up. And that's scary.
I think if they hire from within or someone who has a strong connection,
we have a better chance.
You have a better chance of kind of continuing the culture, the legacy, what Coach Ferentz built. But yeah, you say you hire that sexy group of five or whatever coach, offensive coordinator, fancy schemey guy from some other part of the country. Yeah, you have a 50% chance that that guy is not gonna is gonna be a flop, and you're gonna hire a new one in 4 years.
Like it's just reality. Like, and so the you know the whole the idea is like we get it. KF's on the backside of his career. We've had a tough, I mean, all the way back to 2020 with the Doyle stuff. And then like, it's been a tough 4 years on the program. They've, you know, coaches and players have said as much. They've been through a lot, but be careful what you wish for, because you don't just replace a guy and everything is flowers and, you know, dandelions. Like it's more likely that you enter a shitty period.
Even going and getting the hotshot coach from a, like, and you just pay him a buttload of money from another quote-unquote blue bud school. Look at USC with Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
A lot of points, but they're not winning nearly as many games as you would like them to, right?
No, they're, what are they, 7-3?
7-4.
7-4, they just lost.
7-4?
They lost to Oregon last night, like 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning.
I'm not making that up.
I know. I know. It's unbelievable.
Did you see? Oh, did you guys see that Oklahoma fan getting in Lincoln Riley's face in the talk?
Traitor, Boomer Sooner, you traitor!
He was not expecting that in Autzen Stadium at 2 in the morning.
I mean, you look back. I don't know why I can't find this.
I respect that lady's loyalty, by the way.
Yeah, Texas A&M to say that. Gave Jimbo Fisher $100 million, the most fertile recruiting grounds in the country.
Yep.
I would say probably top five in booster money behind you.
Yep. Just had a top two recruiting class like 2 years
ago. Oh, yeah. They're hitting recruiting classes for like the last 3 years. They've been top five, I want to say.
Yep.
And they can't translate that into wins.
You look within the own division, and you've got Rule and Fickell, and with what Rule came in with, what Nebraska was, what he was working with this year, he's having a successful year. He's 5-5 overall.
Our friend Jeremiah, didn't he say if he got five wins preseason, he'd be super ecstatic?
A bowl game would be like overachieving in year one.
Yeah.
6-6. That's where you realistically have to expect your program to be when you change over coaches. Like that's so like it's,
but I get it's also it. Like it's different because he took over a bad Nebraska program.
It's Luke true.
Fickell walked into a pretty decent situation at Wisconsin.
Like, and they got the same record.
They weren't the Wisconsin of the 2010s, you know, but
it was better than what Nebraska was.
Better than what Nebraska has. Yeah.
And they have the same record. That's what I'm saying. Is like Matt Rule probably looked at as overachieving, whereas Fickell was looked at as underachieving.
Nebraska might be improving throughout the year. I think they are. Wisconsin, I'm not seeing that improvement.
They seem to be getting worse. And I'll tell you this, Kev. I watched the Nebraska game yesterday because I was at the in-laws. They love to turn the ball over. I mean, nobody likes to give the football to the other colored team more than Nebraska. And that's backed factually. They are number one in the country in turnovers.
And I feel like that's been the way for the last 10 years now too.
I mean, Jeff Sims, Harburg got hurt and they brought in Jeff Sims.
Oh, guy loves putting the ball.
The dude just throws it up. I mean, it's unbelievable. So again, all this fun Big Ten talk, there's just a lot of like, hey, here's this, here's that. Some interesting stuff. Obviously, a shitty division this year, but just some things.
Bad or competitive? What if we spin it towards competitive? Everyone's pretty much the same record right now.
I would say bad and competitive.
Spin zone.
What's the cross divisional record this year? It's probably not too.
I think everyone is close to. West against the East
this year.
Indiana, like taking just a hammer to everyone.
I probably can't find that off the top, but I mean, you just look at the West. It's Iowa and 8-2. Every other team except for Purdue is 5-5, and then
just look at the conference records. Iowa's 5-2. Everyone's 3-4. Besides Purdue is 2-5.
Yeah. Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah, the East is clearly the best. or the better conference. I mean, they've always kind of been the better conference, top heavy, but Maryland helping out Rutgers, which we're going to get to here. Might as well get to them. We played Rutgers. Rutgers was, despite our very, very short preview, they had a very good defense coming into this game. Top 10 ranked defense in several categories. They're still top 15 after this game, where the Hawks put up over 400 yards of offense and 22 points and could have had more.
Put that in perspective. Rutgers played Ohio State last week.
Yep.
They were beating them 9-7 at halftime. Ohio State only put up 328 total yards.
It's not like it's the beginning of the season to the end of the season. This was last week to this week. Like, and I will say this. You get a 2:30 game late in the season at Kinnick. It becomes a night game. Kinnick adds a couple points. Loved to see Kinnick at night on TV. It was beautiful.
Great in person too. Just want to.
Oh yeah,
just to clarify.
But a very impressive outing by the Hawks against the Scarlet Knights. I was personally more worried than I let on about this game. I'll say that.
This was in my opinion the best team left on the schedule with the three games remaining prior to this week. Yeah. I said in the preview, like, they run the ball well and they played really good defense, which if it becomes a just move the ball, like whoever can score a few more field goals, like, you know, that's a coin toss game, right? And that's what it was looking like in most of the first half. But Iowa played a very complete, for the most part, clean football game against another solid Big Ten team. Like, I know it's Rutgers. Everyone, like, historically, Rutgers has been bad, right? But this is that's a solid football team.
Solid team. 6-3 coming into yesterday. And like you said, they've competed with some of the good teams like Ohio State. Iowa's defense is usually so damn good right away. Game one, game two. We were good, but we weren't Iowa great early on in the season. But Kev, I've seen this defense.
I mean, they were great. They just weren't 21-22.
They weren't. Great. Yeah, like, they weren't 20.
Last year's defense was great. Game one through game 13.
You're like, right. Last year's defense has put a unrealistic product in my mind. Yeah. So I'm a little bit biased here.
So I was talking about this with a friend too. Do you think that this year, because they get less sacks, like in our brains makes us think they're a little bit worse where they're actually still very good?
Yeah, that's one thing.
Well, I mean, that is a thing, right? Like, less pressure on the quarterback means you are a not as good defense.
Sure. But, sure.
And that's one of the areas they're still struggling a little bit. But the improvement that this defense has made from game one through game 10 is actually a lot bigger than any statistics will show.
Huge. And Rutgers isn't a juggernaut by any means, but actually their passing game is atrocious. But what Iowa did yesterday defensively, hang it how do you say it? The Louvre?
It's a Louvre.
Hang it in the Louvre.
I guess the Louvres is how you would pronounce it. But
it was art. Kevin, you had to be fully tented all game watching this defense. I mean, how were you even able to be in public yesterday?
I mean, they just played really well at the point of attack. They controlled the line of scrimmage for the most part. They were just solid fundamentally with their gap control. I think we only gave up one big play. It was on Jamari Harris missed a tackle on a hitch route. Yep. That was their one big play. But Iowa makes it, when we're playing defense like we're taught to, it makes it so hard to execute as an offense, because you have to find, like, where's the one or two weaknesses against this defense on this play call, against this formation. And then you have to execute on that, march it down the field, 7, 8, 10, 12 play drives in order to make it into points. And that's hard to do. Penn State was able to do it because Penn State's a very good football team, but it's so hard to do. And that's how I was built. It's like, hey, we'll give you up 3 yards, give you up a couple yards, third down comes around, guess what? They only went 2 of 11 on third down. So they had a hard time extending plays or extending drives. And that's how Iowa is built. And that's how Phil Parker is philosophy is around defense. And it's hard to beat when it's executed well, it's extremely hard to beat.
Two stats that have just been completely on the other side this year that demonstrate this, illustrate this really. Total plays for Iowa, 77. Total plays for Rutgers, 41. Time of possession, 38-22 for the Hawks, 21-38 for Rutgers. I mean, that is...
And that's where KF wants to be as a...
Yes.
As a, like, a unit, as a whole team, right? Is when we talk about complementary football, it's so much easier to play defense when you don't have to play it as much, right?
Yes. And I have not
the 80, 90 plays versus Penn State when you only have the 41 versus Rutgers. It's a lot easier to not give up points, not give up yards.
Well, and I have a stat. In fact, I did some more. I want to get better at this. I want the show to improve. We lost a guy. We're a man down, so I'm trying to make sure that we're a little bit more put together here. I got a stat about the defense, Kevin. We are, by yards per play given up, number one in the country. We give up.
That's a good metric. That's a very good.
I like the way that sounds.
To compare across different teams.
When you round it out, it's exactly 4 yards per play. Best in the country. Some of your bad teams, I looked. Nevada, I think, is the worst in the country. They're giving up 7 yards per play or something like that. Almost twice, like 75% more. When you extrapolate that out to as many plays as there are in a game, obviously that's huge. Now, the issue with that is that Kevin just mentioned is our defense has been on the field a lot. So you take yards per play times number of plays in a game. In that top 10 of yards per play defense allowed, there is not a single team that's within 50 plays of us. We've had over 700 snaps defensively. The next in that top 10 was like Ohio State at like 650 something. So we would like to bring that down. We would like it to look more like the Rutgers game on Saturday, but number one in the country in yards per play, our defense is, what was the other stat? Most of those teams, most of the teams up in the top 25 of that stat have all had 100 to 150 less snaps than Iowa defensively, makes it easier to give up less per play because you have more juice. You're not as tired. So it makes it even more impressive that the Hawks are there.
The more you're on the field, the more plays happen, you know, the more likely a big play is going to happen. And a big play is going to skew that stat more to higher than
right.
A negative yard play is going to skew it lower, right?
Right?
Like a couple other plays is going to mess up your average more than, oh, you have a couple more 1 yard runs, right? A
couple other stats that make a big difference as well. No penalties.
Yeah. How about that? Very clean game of football. There's only a few things that I had written down as far as what we could have done better, but no penalties. KF loves that.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely loves that.
You know that when he writes stuff on that little note, when he goes down to his thigh, he's like, no penalties, triple star. Going to bring that up in the first team meeting on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's so huge that people don't bring it up enough. I wish there was like a net yardage statistic because that is a big part of games, like especially penalties that extend drives or this Rutgers had several false starts that moved them from third and very short to, you know, they had a couple back-to-back that moved them third and long.
So what you're talking about there is hidden yardage, right, Kev? Like we're gaining first downs.
Well, hidden yardage, and it's not even like that. So it's like the chance of converting a third and one is probably greater than 50% versus third and six. They don't get it. Yeah, it's only 5 yards on the stat sheet, but it's probably a lot closer to 20 yards because they are probably going to get that first down and probably going to keep that drive moving.
There is... Well, I tweeted about this too. There's one team that has fewer penalties. They have one fewer penalty. It's Michigan, and they're cheaters, so they don't really count. 30 penalties in 10 games for Michigan, 31 for Iowa, and then there's a couple at 32. Then it jumps pretty quick into the 40s. Total penalty yards, Iowa with 266. That is second again behind Michigan, just 8 yards behind them. So divide that by 10 games, we get about 26.6 yards of penalties per game.
And when you're struggling on offense to move the ball, like, you have to win in hidden yardage. And where is that? That's special teams net punting yardage versus like your opponent's punt yardage. And that's penalties right there.
If you
stuff you don't see in the headline statistics, right?
Right. Stuff that you don't necessarily think of when you're like, wow, Iowa's so bad offensively. How do they win these games? Well,
the other thing would be like drive start position, like where are you starting?
I would love to know.
I don't think we're as good this year as we were like last year.
But I'd love to know our starting field position versus our opponent's starting field position, and then find it like a differential, like a quotient of that, and look at that versus other teams and their opponents. I'm sure Iowa's top in the country in that as well. Mm-hmm. For penalty yardage, by the way, 26 yards of penalties per game for Iowa. If you look at the average team, if you go down to like the 60s, right, 65 would be the dead middle, which is Wisconsin. Wisconsin almost has 500 yards of penalties, 50 per game. That's 2.5 first downs a game just in penalties.
I mean, that's a field goal drive right there. So you started in your own 25, 50 yards is the opponent's 25. That's a field goal right there. That's 3 points.
I mean, it's the little things.
For the penalties.
It's the little things, man. Couple other things to hit on in this game. Obviously, Caleb Brown, sort of a breakout game for him. He only had 3 catches, but he had a touchdown. We threw it to him more than that. Like, we tried to get him involved more than he was. People trying to question, why haven't we done this yet? He just transferred in. It takes a time to get integrated into the offense, get the trust of your teammates, learn the playbook, all these things. It appears that he's finally turned the corner. And by playing time and them giving him the ball, calling his number, clearly he's earned the trust. And really, really encouraging to see his athleticism and what that opens up for our offense. Because I think he was a vital part of that fourth quarter and like us kind of, in Iowa terms, blowing the door open yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the kid looks good. I can't speak to why we weren't seeing him more. Maybe it is more so of that, you know, not as comfortable with the system as we'd like him to be, but he looks crisp. He looks like a good athlete. And if we can give him the ball in space, I'm here for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Need to see more of him. Gives us a Cooper DeJean type of athleticism that is a primary offensive position. So we love that. Deacon's best game as a Hawk, 20 of 31 for over 200 yards. And he was effective. He was all that we need him to be yesterday.
And I think this is probably what the coaches are seeing in practice on a regular basis.
Yep.
That for the last 6 weeks, people are like, you're kidding me? There's nobody better on the roster. Yes.
And it was a valid question.
For what we were seeing in game, sure, it was valid. But yes, very, very good game. I have, you know, there's a couple things that we would like back. Obviously,
one bad pick.
The interception before halftime, you know, he's throwing that comeback route and that ball's got to be thrown a full second and a half before he did. You can't throw that ball late. That's going to get picked off every single time. The other thing is, I don't know how many people notice this, is that first field goal drive that we turned into a field goal, not the missed one. But Brian calls a play action and we have the tight end on the wheel. That's his first read. He's looking right at it. He's wide open. He doesn't pull the trigger on it. He hits Nico across the middle picks up a first down, but the touchdown was there. It was wide open. You just got to put a soft little one up in the end zone and he runs under that one for 7. So that cost us, that's 4 points right there. Drew Stevens, missed a 47 yard field goal, 3 points right there.
Yep.
Interception before halftime, 3 points right there. The offense actually left 10 points on the field out there.
10 points on the field and eased up on the last drive where they probably could have punched it in for another touchdown. You could argue 17. Near 40 point game would be absolutely absurd from the Hawks.
But I think that just goes to show is like putting up 22 points and leaving 10 out there, like 10 relatively easy points that you could easily say like should have gotten.
Yeah.
How well that we actually move the ball.
I believe, Kevin, that, and not to leave you out, Gary, I believe that this, guys, is what the product looks like when what we talked about, you know, when I asked you your opinion on the Brian Ferentz firing, Kevin, I believe that when we were talking about how things, you know, everything has, maybe Brian's not the best OC in, you know, you run it 100 times and he's just not the best guy out there. But in this specific instance of the running it 100 times, everything has gone wrong. This is what it looks like when you got a couple playmakers on offense, the quarterback's making plays, the offensive line.
A whole lot, but and we also dropped 2 passes that I think would have been first downs that and that killed drives. The interception, missed field goal, missed open tight end, and 2 drops. You know, as far as an execution on a whole game basis, pretty good, but you add in those and then it's like almost a damn near perfect game.
It looks damn good. Yeah, you're close. And so like
– and not only that, it's like 400 yards, pretty balanced rushing and passing. Like this is where we want to be as a program.
Statistically, this game was exactly what KF loved, like you said.
40 minutes time possession, almost 200 yards rushing, 220 yards passing, no 3 and outs. Efficient, 7 yards per passing attempt, 4 yards a rush, take away the 1 turnover, catch the ball, make the field goal, make the right throw on one play action.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect game.
Somebody in the Discord said, this is what the fans who are just asking for a top 90 offense are looking for. And I said, in my head, I was like, whoa. This is better than top. Like what you got today was better than that. So I went and looked. We got 404 yards of off, 407 or something like that.
Yep.
404 is the current average for the 50th best offensive team in the country. That's Louisiana, Raging Cajun. Ooh, they average 404 yards of offense a game, and they are 50th in the country. So if we averaged what we did yesterday, we would be a top 50 offense in the country. Realistically, if we just averaged in the high threes, up around 370, you're right. You know, you're a little below average there. You're in the 70s. That's where Wisconsin is. That's where Penn State is.
But then say you're doing that and you're also winning in the hitting yardage category of, you know, net putting yardage, of
penalties, you know,
field position start penalties, all that stuff. It all that adds up, right?
Right. Like
we don't need to be averaging 450 yards.
No.
Taking shot plays every single down. It's almost not where we want to be, right? This is what we want to do, right?
Right.
And if you execute it, it works out well.
It does.
This is the Ferentz philosophy of football. It's the execution factor that's been missing for the last 3 years. And speaking of execution, shout out the offensive line. Great day on pass pro. Pretty solid day on running ball.
And they were banged up
a little bit. So
Ellsbury was
in excited. This is the most complete game we've played, offense and defense. I'm excited to see them improving. You know, I think we had a podcast, maybe it was after the Purdue game, maybe after, I forget which one, maybe after Purdue. And it's like, the one thing I was concerned about is like, I'm not seeing a whole lot of week to week improvement.
Slight edge. Yeah.
This game was where it's like, okay, it's something finally all came together. If we can do that, not only are we more than likely going to win the next 2 games by substantial margin, if we get Ohio State in the Big Ten title,
got a chance.
And we put that performance on the field, we got a chance.
We got a chance. Now, obviously, we're not averaging what we did yesterday, right? And that's the reason why we went through all this drama.
Dang it.
Sorry to the people who stand with Drake's t-shirt from the event the other night, which was Brian Ferentz gang or die. Maybe on sale in the future. Who knows? Iowa, even with this over 400 yard performance, still sits in last in Division I football at 130th. We average 243 yards of offense per game. We are 15 yards behind average, the 129th best offense. So, too little too late, but like Kevin said, a lot of times in college football, if you play your best football late in the season and you're getting better each week, and damn if it didn't look like that happened yesterday, we're doing it at the right time. We're still 8-2, should be 9-1. We need one game. I think we can get two. I feel confident we can get two. And I think after the
Minnesota, I still want two. Like, why not win both?
Why not win both? Right? Go get 10.
Absolutely win both.
And at this point, I think after the Minnesota game, we were all sitting here going, shit, we'll probably be a dog at Nebraska. We might have switched back up to the favorite there. Or it'll be a push. So interesting to see. Speaking of, right before, we're going to recap our bets from the weekend because we forgot to do that in the beginning. But I want to give two quick shout outs. Schulte with an interception, almost house called it. Love to see that, Kev. I know that that makes your heart happy. Safety's getting some picks, taking it back. That's what happens when you when we got 12 points. We had two field goals and then we scored a touchdown. First of all, the game felt like it was in the bag. Second, it forces the other Rutgers, I guarantee, was over there going, motherfucker. We're down 12 points and this feels insurmountable. Like, we're never going to come back from this. And what happens? Now they have to start opening it up. They suck at passing and the Doughboys come up with a pick. That's exactly what Phil Parker and the boys are trying to do. It was beautiful. Any thoughts, Kev?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a horrible fucking throw. I'm not going to lie.
Terrible throw. Terrible throw.
But good job catching it, getting the end zone next time.
Another shout out. Nobody except for his parents knew he was on the roster before this game. Ortworth, the 12th string tight end, catches a 54-yard reception down the seam. Biggest play of the game for the Hawks. He's a freshman tight end out of St. Louis. The guy had 11 catches for 194 yards his senior year of high school, and he made an absolute banger of a play yesterday. It's tight end you, and it never fails. It doesn't matter what string we have in there. Shout out to that guy.
See it. Great play call by Brian. Shout out. The safeties were feeling really hard, and I think he kept that one in his back pocket for the right time and called it wide open. Love to see it.
Would love to see what the Cheeto Fingers would have called, because I'm sure they would have had something better. We'll finish with this. We usually start with it on the recap podcast, but Grant, will you pull up our bets from the weekend?
Okay. I have them. Hold on. I got
this. This is a Duke's adjacent podcast, by the way. I'm just putting it out there.
Do we want to talk about their? They have arguably the best start in college basketball as well right now.
Did they win again today?
They won again. They beat Howard. They've beaten two teams who were in the NCAA tournament last year, and then they had a crazy comeback against Kent State over the weekend. They were down 5 with 3.5 seconds left and won the game.
Do we have to go do a double overtime podcast wherever? Where are they? In Virginia?
Is that Virginia?
Yes, they're in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
It seems like we're going to have to make a walk-on paid, all expenses paid trip to wherever that is. And
we're going to show up there and people are like, what are you guys doing?
Hey, who are you guys?
Hey, we just love the Dukes.
We're Dukes fans.
We're bringing the word to the people about the
game. We can start with mine, though. The reason I bring it up is because I took them minus 25 against dog shit UConn, and they covered. They was never in doubt. I think
what
they
won the alternate by line 40. Did they cover the alternate
line?
They
did not cover 40. It was 44-7, I think, or 44-6. Michigan covers as well. Penn State doesn't quite have the juice to deal with the big dogs, it looks like. Nebraska, you sons of bitches. Just can't get it done, can you? I need to learn the lesson, and I need
They'll teach you to bet on Nebraska.
They lose by a field goal. I think it was 10-10 late in the game. They lose 13-10. Maryland hits a short 35-yard walk-off field goal. I'm glad they lost, but I took them plus 2.5, and they failed me. So I go 2-1, happy about it. We'll take 2-1 every week.
Yeah, 2-1's profitable. I'm pretty sure it was... Nah, never mind. So I had Indiana plus 6.5. They lose by 3 in overtime to Illinois.
Covers.
They were up like 20 points at one point, I think.
Wild game of the weekend in the Big Ten, by the way.
I wasn't able to watch it, but they blew like a 20-point lead, ended up losing in overtime, but they covered, and that's all I care about. The Michigan-Penn State under 45 looked like a lock all game long until the fourth quarter. We had a couple of really quick touchdowns, and I start sweating, but the under does come in and hit. And then I had the under in the Georgia-Ole Miss game at 58, and Ole Miss did not show up to play and they get routed. That goes over by about like 10 points, I think. So another 2-1 week for me as well.
Nice. Love it.
It took a while, but we finally went 2-1 again. I think after 3 straight weeks of 1-2, I don't know. If you were asking me before the week, it felt like I was like 10 games below 500, but no, we're at 19-4,
and 14, 19-14.
Wow. 19-4 would be really impressive, but 19-14, on the season now, KU start off the day, just a total disaster. I thought I was going to go 0-3 after that start. They had Jason Bean, pretty banged up in the game, was going in and out with the backup quarterback. And boy, they almost did it too. They almost came back and it was like, oh my gosh, they're finally going to do it. And then they just complete after they figured out the defense finally to get a stop. The last drive of the game, they just completely fold and they couldn't stop anything. So disaster there. Mizzou just absolutely whipped Tennessee this weekend. Wow. It was fairly close to the beginning, but then they just totally opened it up on them.
That's a good team down there in Columbus.
Missouri plays football, man.
Are they Columbia? They're Columbia, right?
They're Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah. Yes.
Which do we feel like Missouri is the South? Because I don't think it's the South.
It's not the Midwest.
Like, it's like a purgatory in between, in between the Midwest and the South.
But yeah, shout out Brady Cook. I mean, this dude, like he had one pick earlier in the game that was not very good, but like otherwise, the guy can ball.
Who's their second loss to? They lost to Georgia and who else?
LSU.
LSU. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, which was my third pick. LSU. Boy, if they just had if they could just get a stop on third down, like occasionally, they probably only have one loss or two losses right now.
Occasionally,
I thought that was your thing. You weren't betting on people you've not seen get a third down stop anymore.
I know, and I saw that. I was watching this game, and I was like, "Oh, I did it again!" Like they can't do it. It's unbelievable. I was like, I'm watching it like late at night, and I was like, "This is unbelievable." How like I had. Jaden Daniels had 600 yards nearly of offense himself.
I saw that. That was absolutely insane.
And I was like, how they're not going to cover plus they're not going to cover 13 and a half. And they came down to the last play of the game. The stadium is empty. They were up 17. And I was like, Graham Mertz has thrown it to the end zone. I was super stressed out, but they covered it anyway.
Love that.
Crazy weekend, but finally 2-1. It's good to see it go through the hoop. Also, the bonus bets did very well this week. I just want to point out UCF. Just total destruction of Oklahoma State. Cal won a crazy game against Washington State, and then Purdue beat Minnesota. So the bonus bets. Oh, Gary, but Wyoming got absolutely smacked, so that was a big mishap.
Gary on fire. If you're not following, you're not making money. And if you're not gambling, you're not watching. It's just how it goes around here. Real quick before we wrap this up, I forgot to do it earlier in the recap. Okay. Our premier collision of the game, premier automotive collision of the game. I'm putting my nomination up for Xavier Wampa. He hit a lead blocker so hard. He knocked him back 3 or 4 yards and he was hurt. He like knocked every ounce of air out of that man's body. I don't know if you guys saw any other great collisions during this game. X put the boom stick on this guy and it was beautiful to see.
Anything else? Works for me, man. Yeah.
All right. Hit a deer, call Premier, and they will probably point you in the direction of Jay Higgins, who deals with all their collisions. That's all we got. Wash up walk-ons. We'll preview the Illinois game later this week. Of course, if you're on the Patreon, DHT and DGF this week as well. AdcraftWebStores.com for the Christmas drop. Talk to you there. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.